If you knelt beside the rubble of an aching, broken heart, when the things you gave your life to fell apart, you're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow, grief, or pain. But the Master promised sunshine after rain. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child. Light is just inside. To invest your seed of trust in God, in mountains you can't move. You have risked your life on things you cannot prove. But to give the things you cannot keep for what not lose is the way to find the joy God has for you. So hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child. Dawn is just inside. Yes, the darkest hour means dawn is just inside.
Man, thank you, Brother Lassiter. Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. If you have never gone through one of those dark, dark storms, if you've never gone through the tough times he was singing about when it seemed that everything has fallen apart, then that message, that song, does not have the meaning to you as it does to those of us who have been there and knew that he was there with us. And that the storm or the heartache or the sorrow was not the end of the story. That joy was going to come in the morning. I ask you to be in prayer for my dear friend, Brother Keith Gomez's family, his son Josh that was hurt in the accident, is back in the hospital. He's not doing well at all. And then Mrs. Gomez was in the hospital a few weeks ago, just the burden and breakdown from all that she's been through and diabetes, and she's back in the hospital with pancreatitis and complications connected with her diabetes. And we ask you to pray for them as you continue to pray for the Gonzalez family and little Mikey Gonzalez also. If you found your place in John chapter 15, would you stand please? And we shall begin to read in verse number 1 and read through verse number 7. This is Jesus, the Son of God, speaking. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Then notice this statement, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now I want you to go back to verse number 5 and notice the statement of Jesus. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Now that's a statement of fact by our Lord in the Bible. It is true. Mankind has not learned that yet. We still think we can get by and survive and be successful without Christ. I'm amazed at Christians who have not learned this truth yet. They think that getting saved is all they need, and they don't need Jesus for any other aspect of their life other than their salvation. But may I say to you, Jesus is talking about bearing fruit. He's talking about our life of service for Him. And He's telling us, without Him, we can do nothing. Heavenly Father, help me tonight or today as I bring this message. Thank you for the music that we've heard, for the preparation of our hearts for this hour. And now, Holy Spirit of God, would you work through the singing and the message to produce in the people who are here what you want to be accomplished. Some need to be saved today. Some need to come for believer's baptism. Others need a church home. Some who have been saved have never found your will or sought your will and purpose for their life. Some are here today and they're saved, but they're not living for you. They're backslidden. They're out of the will of God. They're wrapped up in themselves. Holy Spirit of God, would you speak to their heart and bring great conviction upon each of us according to our need. I need your help as I preach this message. I don't want to just preach a sermon. Lord, I'd like for it to be a message anointed with your power. A message that you have sent, a message through which you will work in our hearts and our lives. I'm asking you to save every unsaved person in our services today. And Lord, speak to every heart here this morning and do your will. We'll thank you in advance for what you shall do and for every decision made and every soul saved. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Again, Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Throughout history, man has accomplished many things. Man has made more progress in the last 15 years than in the past 150 years. We've gone from building the first steam engine to luxury jets and rocket ships. We've advanced from walking to work to walking on the moon. We've gone from a quill pen to a computer and from Pony Express to email. We've gone from Morse code to chat rooms. It seems as though man can do anything he sets his mind to, or at least that's what he thinks. The Bible, however, tells us that there's some things that man can never do. There's some things that are impossible with man. The Bible says in Luke 18:27, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And the Bible says in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now man can go so far and do so much on his own. And then he comes to a place that he's got to look up to God or go no further. Many people are so possessed with pride that they die looking down. God allows men to make progress. And God gives us knowledge and abilities. But too often, instead of glorifying God, we glorify man and give him the credit that belongs to God. This morning, for a few minutes, I want us to realize that there are at least seven things that are impossible for man without Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that the Bible says, with Jesus, nothing is impossible. But without Christ, there are many things that are impossible. Number one, without Christ, it's impossible to be saved. Well, there's not one chance in 10 billion you could make it to heaven without Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why, Jesus said himself in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I'm simply trying to say to you this morning that without Christ it's impossible for a sinner to be saved. We're living in a world of cults that are growing rapidly. Any religion that does not believe that Jesus Christ is God, the Son of God, and the Savior of sinful man is a cult. Let me say that again. Any religion that does not believe that Jesus Christ is God, that He is the Son of God and the Savior of sinners, any religion that does not believe those things about Christ is a cult. They're a false religion. I say again, Jesus tells us plainly that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. The greatest question ever asked is, what think ye of Christ? Is he God? Is he the Son of God? Is he the sinless Son of God? Is he the Redeemer of sinful man? Is he your Savior today? Greatest question ever asked is, what think ye of Christ? We'd better have our thinking right in relationship to Christ, because it is impossible for a sinner to be saved without Jesus Christ. The greatest answer to that question, what think thee of Christ, or ye of Christ, is when it was stated, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. Do you believe that? Did you know there's a lot of believers, a lot of religions today that don't believe Jesus is the Son of God? They do not believe that He is eternally the Son of God. He was with God in the beginning, and He was God in the beginning. You see, there are religions that say that Jesus was just a son of God. And what Jesus is, we can become. And what we are, Jesus used to be. That's heresy. That's cult teaching. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to this world to die for sinners. He lived without sin, died without sin, paid our sin debt completely, and makes available for any man, woman, boy, or girl eternal forever salvation in Christ alone. And without Him, it's impossible for a sinner to be saved. The greatest prayer ever prayed is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul. Have you ever prayed that prayer? You're not going to get good enough to make it to heaven on your own. You're not going to do enough or give enough to make it into heaven because of your good deeds. Our salvation is through Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. It is a gift of God on the merits of His grace, received by faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Have you accepted Him as Savior? You may know a lot of right people, but it's impossible to be saved without knowing Jesus as Savior. Without Him, you can do nothing to save yourself. Without Christ, it's impossible for a sinner to be saved. Secondly, without Christ, it's impossible to be satisfied. Without Christ, it's impossible to be satisfied. Someone said that when God made man, He put an empty place inside of him, and man lives his life trying to fill that empty place. He says that empty place is exactly the size and the shape of Jesus Christ. And man will never be satisfied until Jesus is invited to come into his heart and life. Proverbs 27 verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full. Even so, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Isaiah 55 verse 2 and 3 said, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. The Isaiah is talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about our need of Him. We can live our life for the things of this world, but they will never satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies the longing in our heart. And may I say, only Jesus satisfies the payment of sin for our sin debt. Isaiah 53, God saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. Talking about Jesus dying and suffering in our behalf. Man is putting forth his efforts and energies to satisfy the body. But the key to happiness and joy is the satisfaction of the soul. The only way to satisfy the soul is to turn to Jesus Christ as Savior. Psalm 107 verse 9 says, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is our satisfaction. There is a hunger that cannot be filled without Jesus. There is a thirst that cannot be quenched without Christ. Understand what you are, and not just who you are. You are an eternal soul. And sin has separated us from God. There is an emptiness and a hunger that cannot be satisfied. There is a thirst that cannot be quenched until Jesus finds His abiding place in our heart and life as our Savior and as our Lord. Does Jesus live in you? Have you invited Him to come in? Oh, I like what the old country preacher said. He said, Jesus is knocking at our heart's door. But He won't knock the door down. He's a gentleman. You have to open the door and invite Him to come in. Thirdly, Without Christ, it's impossible to be secure. Without Christ, it's impossible to be secure. One of the blessings of salvation is the security it brings with it. I don't have to get up every morning wondering if I'm still saved. I don't go to bed at night wondering if I died, will I make it? I thank God for security that we have in Jesus Christ. And without Christ as your Savior, and without Christ in your heart and life as your Savior, you're never going to have that peace and that security. You can't work enough, you can't give enough, you can't pray enough, you can't be good enough, you can't be religious enough. For without Christ, it's impossible to be secure. If Christ is the only way of salvation, and you're trying to make it to heaven without Christ, then what are you going to find for your security? What are you going to depend on for your security? Well, you're building your life on sand. Quicksand. The storms are coming. We're living in a fearful, restless society. We're afraid of inflation. We're afraid of depression. We're afraid of war. We're afraid of gangs, of thieves, of murderers. We're afraid of terrorists. We're afraid of overpopulation. We're afraid of pollution. We're afraid of global warming and 100 other things that man's troubled and fearful about. But may I say to you, only the child of God has complete peace and security because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Why, we have this promise. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, the greatest insurance and security plan in the world today is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And those other things He's talking about, where are we going to live, what are we going to eat, what are we going to wear, the things we live our life trying to possess. Jesus said, if you'll just seek Me first. Seek the kingdom of God. That's that spiritual kingdom we enter into by the new birth. And His righteousness. Live to please Him. Live to glorify Him. Live to serve Him. Live to magnify Him. Put Him first in all things. And Jesus said, My promise is all these other things will be added to you. Boy, that's security. Security. In Christ, the outlook will always be right, regardless of how dark the outlook might be. Our security must come from within man, and he can only get it from above. You say, now, preacher, that doesn't make sense. Our security can only come from within us. When we accept Jesus, He lives in us. He lives in us. And we can only get that from above. He came from above in order to live and die for us. Hebrews tells us that He is able to save us to the uttermost. That means He's able to save us and to keep us saved through all of the storms and the trials and the heartaches and the depressions and inflation and all the things that are going on in this world. But without Christ, it's impossible to be secure. You cannot buy enough security systems to put on your house to bring security in your heart and soul. That only comes from Jesus. And you only get it when you accept Him as your Savior. Fourthly, without Christ, it's impossible to be sure. Without Christ, it's impossible to be sure. Now you say, preacher, Are you cocky? Are you acting as though you're cocky about this? No. I'm just acting as though I'm sure the Bible is true. I've learned to stand on His promises. I've learned to believe His Word. You see, I believe it when God said, "My Word is settled in heaven." I believe it when the psalmist said, "My heart is fixed." Our heart must be fixed upon Him. And when our heart is fixed upon Him and His Word, we too can be sure. There are very few things in this life we can be sure of. We can't be sure of our jobs. We can't be sure of our finances. It's chicken today and feathers tomorrow. We cannot be sure of our society. Why, we can't even really be sure of our friends. But with Jesus, we can be sure. If Jesus said it, if Jesus taught it, or lived it, you can be sure it is right and that it works. With Christ in your heart, and as your Savior, you can be sure that heaven is your home. You can be sure that you have the greatest opportunity for happiness and joy and peace as you live in His perfect will. You can be sure as you live to put Him first that you have the promise of provisions for this life. What David said in Psalm 93, verse 5, "Thy testimonies are very sure." Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, "The foundations of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Are you built on that sure foundation? May I say to you, you'll never be sure and you'll never be secure without Jesus Christ. But in Christ, we can be both secure and sure. You say, what are you talking about sure? I'm sure I'm saved. I don't just know it. I know that I know that I know that I know I'm saved. I'm 100% certain. You say, preacher, you're sure putting a lot of stock in yourself. Uh-uh. I'm putting a lot of stock in Jesus and His promise. I believe He died for my sins, and I believe He died for all my sins, and I believe He saved me when He said He would, and I believe He keeps me. And I can be secure and sure in Jesus Christ. And then fifthly, I want you to know without Christ it's impossible to get straightened out. You say, why are you using that term? Because people use it all the time talking to me. Preacher, I'll come to church when I get straightened out. Well, you're never going to get straightened out without Jesus. Amen. Thinking you'll get straightened out and then come to church is putting the cart before the horse. No, you come to church and trust Christ in order for Him to straighten us out. We're never going to get straightened out without Jesus. Jeremiah 10:23 said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." When a man tells me he'll get saved when he gets his life straightened out, I tell him right off that he'll never get saved then. Because we're sinners. We're totally depraved. We're dead in sin. We're lost. We can't straighten out our problems. We can't straighten out our life. We've got to turn to Jesus, who alone can straighten us out. It takes Christ to straighten out the sin problem in our life. Why, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away and all things becomes new." And the truth is, none of us need to get straightened out. We need a new life. We need a new heart. We need a new direction. We need a new purpose. We need a new beginning. And that only comes in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. If you want your life to be straightened out and your marriage to be straightened out and your home to be straightened out, then you must come to Christ and yield to His Word. Just getting saved is not going to straighten out all the other problems. But yielding, getting saved and yielding to His Word. I can't tell you how many people come to my office for marriage counseling. And they think coming to talk with the preacher will fix it. Talking to the preacher is not going to fix your problem. Listening to what I say is not going to fix your problem. I'll tell you up front, I am not a certified marriage counselor. I'm a Bible-believing preacher. And my counsel to you will be from the Word of God. And I promise you, if you believe and practice what God says in His Word about your problems, God will straighten out your problems. I've said I've been tempted, and I've even said it publicly, that I'm going to start charging $200 an hour for counseling. If you don't do what I say to you, I'm going to keep it. If you do, I'll give it back to you. I'm just tired of spending time with people who are looking to get straightened out by something or someone other than Jesus and His Word. It's impossible to get our life and our marriage and our home straightened out when we won't obey the book. And we won't live to please the Word of God. Some of you having problems in your home and your marriage right now, you're having problems because you're trying to do it your way. You think you're Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Well, his way failed, and your way will fail. But if you want help, there's help when you'll come and do it His way. His way. I've got to hurry. Sixthly, without Christ, it's impossible to be successful. Without Christ, it's impossible to be successful. I won't tarry long here. Success in the eyes of the world does not mean that you are successful. You're created as more than a physical person. You're a spiritual being. You were not just created for this world and for success in business. You were created for Him and for His glory. And Jesus asked this question, "For what has a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Success is more than just having money and a big house. Success is being saved and know you're right with God and in the will of God. You may be blessed with a good job. You may be blessed with a profitable business, or you may not be. But ultimately, success is not going to be determined by your bank book. It's going to be determined by the book He's keeping on your life and how you're living it for Him. Are you honoring Him, glorifying Him, serving Him? Are you doing your best for Him? There's a lot of people with big fat checkbooks that are miserable today. They have no peace, no contentment, no purpose. A man is successful in God's sight only when he is saved and he provides the physical and spiritual needs for his family. And he lives in the will of God, doing His best. I tell you often, the greatest lesson I've ever learned as a Christian is that my best is good enough for God, no matter how poor it is, and less than my best is never good enough for God, no matter how good it is. One more thing, and I'm through. Without Christ, it's impossible to find a solution. Without Christ, it's impossible to find a solution. Too many are settling for a sedative instead of a solution. You're trying to cover the problem instead of fixing the problem. I tore the rotocuff in my shoulder back in July of this year and then tore the bicep muscle. So I've got a double hurt here on my left arm, and the pain is horrendous. People are saying, well, why don't you take this or take that or take that? And I am. I'm taking it all. But you know, at best, it just masks the pain. It just pushes it back for a little while. It's still there. I just can't feel it. And that's what a lot of people are trying to do about the problems of our life. We're looking for a sedative, a painkiller, and not a solution. Well, may I tell you that Christ is the solution to the hurting heart, to the wayward life. He's a solution. He's not the problem. You let the average secular counselor talk to you today, and they'll make you think the Bible and Christ is your problem. You listen to the world today, and they want you to believe that Jesus is the problem. He is not the problem. The Bible is not the problem. Sin is the problem. Jesus is the answer to that problem. The songwriter said, Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Jesus, oh Jesus, without Him, how lost we would be. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Some of you today need Him as your Savior. Some of you need Jesus to feel this hunger in your soul to be satisfied. Some of you need Jesus for that security. Some of you struggling with doubts and uncertainty need Jesus to be sure. Some of you that are talking about getting life straightened out needs Jesus. Some of you that are living your life for things that the world says is success need to come to Him and His will. For only when we live His will can we enjoy success in His eyes. And some of you are struggling with problems. You're looking for the quick fix. You're looking for a sedative. When in reality, you need a solution. And that solution is Jesus. Will you trust Him? Will you give Him your life? Some of you have been saved for years and struggling still because you've never yielded your life to the will of God. Some of you have been saved and your life is still without purpose and direction because you've tried to live your life outside of His local church and outside of His will. Some of you have been saved and you're giving yourself trying to make it in business, hoping that will provide the peace and the happiness, the success. But you're never going to find it until you come back to Him and live in His will. Some of you struggle every day about your salvation. And you're never going to find security or certainty until you come to Jesus according to His word and His will. Jesus is the answer. Ah, with Him, we have a life worth living and heaven to look forward to. But without Him, we can do nothing. Father, take the message this morning and speak to our hearts. There are people here.